Hello, hello. You're listening to a special Wednesday edition of Is Good on KillRadio.org. My guest today is the Carabel Nightlife. We're going to start by playing a track from their CD, The Other Shore, and then we'll get into some interview and some live stuff. You're listening to Is Good on KillRadio.org. All lines up. You're listening to Is Good on KillRadio.org. My guest is the Carabel Nightlife. Am I pronouncing that right? Carabel?
Caraball.
All right. So why don't we go around the room one by one. Who are you and what do you play? What are you doing here?
I'm Lindsay and I play bass.
My mic's not on. Oh, there we go.
Courtney plays drums. Okay.
Yes.
My name is Jesse, and I play guitar and I sing.
Now, is this how is this band organized? Is it someone and their band, or is it a cohesive collaborative unit?
Well, I try to think of it as sort of a combination of the two things. I write all the songs myself, but I think a singer is only as good as his band, and Lindsay and Courtney collaborate a lot with their own individual parts, and it wouldn't really be what it is, I think, unless they were there. So I really think that it is a collaborative in a way, but as far as the songwriting goes, I take care of most of that myself.
Yeah, it helps.
All right, so he just sort of brings in a song, and then you guys pick up on what you're going to play, how you're going to make it work?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much. Jesse, it's nice because, you know, we're in the situation where he seems to have an abundance of material and brings in a lot, and, you know, whatever he brings in, we just kind of go with and work from. So, you know, it works nice that way.
And they're always good.
Well, thank you.
Is that true? Are they always good? Does he ever bring in a song where you're like, I don't think that this is a Caraball Nightlife song?
So far, I haven't. No.
Especially in the olden days, it used to happen more. I guess I should mention that Courtney is a newer addition to our band. And we have only played 3 shows with her so far, but they've been 3 of the best shows that we've done because we really like what she's bringing to the table. But when we first started out in the early days, we were still really trying to find out what kind of thing we wanted to do. And so I would be writing all these different sort of genres. One thing might sound like Nirvana. Another thing might sound like almost like Weezer. Something might sound like the Pixies. And I mean, it was just all over the place before we like started really trying to hone in and figure out what we really like essentially want to be about, you know?
Why don't we jump into a live song and then we'll talk about how you sort of develop your sound to begin with.
Sounds great.
What are you going to play for us first?
We're actually going to only be playing new stuff for all of you today. So it's going to be adventurous for us. So hopefully it won't be bad. But this is a new one that we've never played at a show before, but it's called 40 Days.
All right, you're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is the Caraball Nightlife.
Days, 40 days.
All right. Great start to the show. You're listening to Is Good on KillRadio.org. My guest is the Carabel Nightlife. You know, it's funny. You mentioned a bunch of bands that, you know, you're writing music. It sounded certain ways, like Nirvana and Weezer and other bands from, like, the mid and early 90s. But your sound, and maybe it's just because it's pared down for to be in the Kill Radio studio, but your sound reminds me more of music from several decades beforehand. You know, the Doors and Bob Dylan, things like that. Were that kind of music you were listening to when you started writing music?
When I first started writing music, I was very influenced by the stuff from the early 90s. I think it was Nirvana and Pearl Jam, really, that got me to, like, pick up a guitar. But as I got older, I guess my tastes, I don't want to say matured, I don't know what the right word is, but I started getting a lot more into stuff from the 60s, like the Velvet Underground and Bob Dylan a lot, and some newer stuff too, like Neutral Milk Hotel and Spoon a lot too. But I don't know, I think we've been trying to go for this more, you know, sort of almost 60s direction lately, especially. Like, we just really like almost like having like a British invasion sound to it, you know? Mm-hmm.
How did it all start for you? Like, when did you first pick up a guitar?
I first picked up a guitar when I was 14 years old, and I was on a family trip in New York, and they had a guitar lying around. And I never thought I ever wanted to play guitar, because I played piano before that. I thought, oh, piano's cool. Like, I like banging on it. I thought, you know, a guitar you can't really bang on, so I wasn't, you know, that interested in it. But I don't know. I picked up the guitar, and I just spent, you know, hours doing it, and I just loved it. And then I found, when I got back into town, I found a guitar in my grandma's closet, and I took it home and played it, like, 8 hours a day, and just I found that was really, like, the instrument for me, and I don't know, I haven't looked back.
It's a great name for a band, by the way, Grandma's Closet.
Yeah, there's some other stuff in there that we probably don't want to discuss.
I know, it's a good thing you didn't find, like, and then I started wearing women's clothing, and that's what, tell me about, was that the first, did playing guitar come to you before writing songs came to you, or...
No, I think that I've always really been interested in writing songs, and I used to write a lot of poetry when I was like 13, as I guess many 13-year-olds.
When we're at our deepest, yes.
Yeah, when we're at our deepest and most sensitive. But I always tried to write songs, and they weren't very good. But as I started learning guitar, it felt like it was a better forum for me to write songs, and it helped my progression as a songwriter. And we still, even in our set, play like two songs I wrote when I was 17. So I don't know. I guess some good stuff came out, or at least in my opinion, some stuff that I still like came out of like that earlier period of writing stuff.
Now how did you find the rest of your band?
Oh, that's a good question. Originally, I was playing with completely different people. I had moved down from Los Angeles, from Santa Cruz, with another friend of mine, Dan Grayson, who was originally the drummer in this band. And we were doing this band, and we were doing his band where he sang, and we were really into that. But as time wore by, that other band that I was in where he sang, sort of like neither of us started being that into it. And he like formed his own thing. And we both met Lindsay actually at Bang, this dance club out in Hollywood,
yeah,
Club Bang. And we talked to her, and we were into the same kind of music. So Lindsay and I started hanging out, and it turned out she played bass. So we started, you know, working on some songs, and I don't know, it just went from there. And Courtney actually, we had jammed with her like maybe 2 years before she joined our band. And we liked her drumming. It's just that we had our other drummer in the band, and we couldn't, you know, just fire him because he was our friend. And,
did he mysteriously get sick one day? And
no, he finally, like, it was, we finished the album with him on drums, and it was like the perfect time for both of us for him to just go off and do his own thing, which is really cool. It's called Yes Means Yes. And we just played a show with him. You know, he's really a singer, and it's just much better. And Courtney was the first person we called. We called her, and, you know, she joined our band a week after Dan left. It was as smooth a transition as one could ask for, you know. And so we're happy to have, you know, another friend in the band. So just, you know, some person, you know.
And your old drummer, is that who's playing on this album that you brought in?
Yeah, he played, and he actually engineered the album, too, with us. So he was a big part. The album has a lot to do with, you know, work we did with him. And now we're sort of almost trying to, like, reinvent ourselves because we have Courtney in the band now. And additionally, we have a live member who plays, you know, like, a, I guess, I shudder to say a touring member because we're not on tour. But his name's Nathaniel, and he's a really good guitarist, and he's going to play keyboard and maybe some trumpet, too, at our live shows.
Cool. Why don't we listen to another track from this CD, and then we'll come back and ask Lindsay and Courtney if you're telling the truth about how you guys got together.
Sounds great.
What do you recommend that we play?
Let's hear I Need a Girl.
Number.
All right. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is the Carabao Nightlife. We're going to listen to a track from their CD, come back, and do some more live stuff.
Gotta go and find.
And we're back on Is Good on KillRadio.org, hanging out with the Caraball Nightlife. Courtney, so when Jessica came and said, you know, hey, do you want to join the band? Were you like, longest audition ever?
Kind of. Well, like he said, I had played with them a few years back, and I loved it. I loved their energy and the songs, and I ended up joining another band, All of Us, None of Us, who is also an excellent band. And but when Lindsay and Jesse approached me, I thought, you know, maybe I could try doing both bands at once, but quickly realized that wouldn't work. So
yeah,
I couldn't really pass it up. So here I am.
We're grateful for it.
Thank you. Yeah.
Is there a certain kind of drumming that you do for this band that's in any way different from drumming you might do for another indie rock band?
Oh, yeah. My drumming is completely different.
Totally different than how she drummed for the other band. Her drumming with the other band was a lot more minimal, almost like, you know, sometimes it sounded like she was trying to, like, sound like the machine kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But I knew that for a fact that wasn't her, you know, totally her style, because we had played with her before and she, you know, goes off,
she
plays fills,
rock
and
out.
Rocks out, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah, rock out.
So, yeah, and in our band, she definitely rocks a lot harder.
And did that all start for you with banging on pots and pans in the kitchen or something?
Well,
as a kid?
I started playing when I was about 13. My dad was a drummer, and I always went to his practices and just loved everything. I wanted to be a rock star. So started playing, but I didn't get into my first band until just a couple years ago. So, but this is what I love to do.
That's great. Do you find it while you're coming up with the rhythm for a new song that Jesse's brought in, Do you come up with ideas and try new things out that maybe you haven't done in other songs?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we'll basically just start jamming on it, and then, you know, Jesse will say, oh, try this, or
yeah,
this part I want to be super rockin'. And
I don't know a great deal about drums. Unfortunately, I wish I knew more. But so my language of communication with her is, you know, limited. But so sometimes I'll be like, more like a, you know, and I sound like an
so
idiot.
So I just kind of pretend like I know what he's talking
yeah.
about. And then I do something that he ends up liking.
Yeah. So far, so good. So.
Awesome. All right. So Lindsay, tell me about you and your relationship with the bass, which is unusual.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of female bass players, though. Interestingly enough, I had one here last week, and we were talking about how there's not a lot of female
yeah.
bass players. So how do you find the bass?
Well, basically, similarly to them, I had a musical family, and my father was a guitarist, and I started out just fiddling around with guitar, learning chords and things in like middle of high school. And then near the end of high school, I got this urge just to buy a bass. I went and bought a cheap one from a friend, and I was kind of like, this is so much more my thing. Like, I immediately felt more connected to it, and from then on, I just, you know, the first thing I did was I played, like, in a Pixies cover band just for some mm-hmm. experience, and, you know, actually, the first official band I've been in has been, you know, Caraball, so it's been cool because, you know, being with, you know, Jesse, who's a great guitarist, and, you know, playing together in a band, he's taught me, you know, a lot and really challenged me. Whereas, you know, sometimes you can just go in when you're not friends and with the band previously, and it's, you know, just whatever you can bring to the table, you bring to the table. But he's really challenged me, and I think we all challenge each other and push each other, you know, and I think that's a good way to be in a band, because you never want things to get stale or stagnant. You always want to feel that drive behind you. And early on, I think that's important, too.
Yeah, I just want to mention that Lindsay has really come a long way on the bass. When we first started out playing, you know, not just Lindsay, but all of us were really getting by on the fact, like, you know, all right, we're going to just, you know, just rock out and go crazy on stage and just hope it, you know, throw it all against the wall and hope it lands, you know. But as it's progressed, like, Lindsay's really, like, writing great parts, and, you know, it's not just, you know, me writing her parts for, it's her coming up with, like, really cool stuff that I would have never thought of that really shapes the song. And, you know, now it's a whole different game, especially with Courtney now and our other guitar player. It's just about really trying to get the songs to sound good and not have to rely on, you know, anything other than the songs themselves, you know. Everything else is great, mm-hmm. but, you know, it should be secondary to the songs.
Yeah.
A lot of bands say that the among the most important things in the band is the relationship between the bass player and the drummer, and their ability to communicate, you know, during a song, during a recording. Did you have to adjust to Courtney being a new drummer, and then also maybe describe sort of your musical relationship?
Yeah,
Don't be too mean to Dan.
No.
We love Dan.
Yeah, Dan's awesome, but I think there's two things kind of. I think number one, playing with Dan, you know, there was definitely a connection there between the drum and the bass, but there was just also this like kind of crazy kind of brother sister thing going on where we'd get through it and it was a bonding experience, but
we fought a lot,
but he's one of my best friends, you know, it's all good. But with Courtney, I think number one, it's having like this kind of female, like, it sounds cheesy, but like this sisterly kind of like drum bass thing. It's like, it's cool. It's like,
Lindsay's more relaxed now.
I've always felt relaxed playing with her. And, I think that when the more we play together, you get to that point where you don't necessarily have to, in practice, stop and say something or have some verbal communication, but you pick up each other's cues. So the next time you come around to the part, it's like you're right there. And that's the coolest thing, when you're not communicating verbally, but you're just doing it through the music and changing things based on listening to each other. And that's
an amazing feeling, really. Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, that's a good note to go into a live song with, then.
I think so.
What do you guys want to play for us now?
We're going to play a number called Why the Moa Ran, and it's about this extinct bird called the moa that lived in New Zealand that was hunted to death by the Maoris, but we sort of use it as this metaphor for, like, almost like that we're the moa, or God's the moa, or everything good in the world is the moa, and it's being hunted by everything bad. And it's this whole, like, almost about this, like, whole war and feeling like you're being hunted, and this just feeling of, like, impending darkness all around.
Nice. Well, take us there. All right, you're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. This is the Carabao Nightlife live on Kill Radio.
Tell you about a bird who grew, evolved to be so big he had to leave the sky. He spent his days just dreaming about what it'd be like to steal our wings and to But the Maoris came into New Zealand, and the spears got sharper through the years, but the skin of the bird stayed the same. They called the bird Mo, which meant chicken. When they saw that bird, you know they saw dinner indeed. Oh, but the Moa was bad. And it ran. Oh, you don't have to be a bird without wings to run away. Oh, grab your suitcase, pack your favorite things, and be on the next plane. I had enough of these lies. baby, he's waiting for a two-and, and then he will walk again. Oh, I see politicians, pastors, and priests sharpening their spears, and I think they're hunting for me. Set a trophy up on their wall. They build false idols of themselves for us to call upon in prayer. Oh, there's only so much that a God can do. He can find you fast, he can show you the truth. But the truth is hunted and is soon extinct. Oh, you don't have to be a bird without wings. Run away. Oh, grab your suitcase, pack your favorite things, and be on the next plane. Oh, and then you'll be saying that maybe the mouse in his grave, and maybe he's just hiding in a cave.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is the Carbell Nightlife. So you gave a great introduction to that song about, you know, what the words are about and then how it works as a metaphor. Is that very much your style of writing? Do you have a particular style of writing?
Well, my style of writing is always changing, but on our last album, we tried to have this more metaphoric, like, thematic thing. Like, I guess you could say that that's like my main style of lyric writing, is to like use metaphors to represent things that, you know, are very real, and use mythology to our advantage, to talking about things that are sometimes hard to talk about. And in a way, I have respect for someone like John Lennon on his Plastic Ono Band album, who can just tell you exactly how it is. But for me, it seems like it's easiest for me to communicate using these metaphors. I guess it's a little less convoluted on this new stuff, because it's we're trying to be a little more direct, but I guess the metaphors are still there.
Now, this album that you brought in, this is available where?
It's available at Sea Level Records in Echo Park, and it's also available through our MySpace page, and we hope to have it up on iTunes soon, but... I guess you'll have to wait for that.
Well, cool. It's called The Other Shore, and why don't we play another track from it?
Let's do it. Let's play Cicadas Sing and Wake the Dead.
Yeah. All right. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. This is the Carabell Nightlife.
I'm going to go.
When I was a young child, I heard the planes fly from my room. They were so loud I thought they'd crash in my head. One day when I grew older, drove down to Arizona and had a funeral there, I thought I heard those planes again. My ears, so I can finally hear the wind drop right. Settle into the day.
We're back on Is Good on killradio.org with the Carbon Nightlife. Let me just ask you, I know it's kind of cheesy to ask a band what their name is, but it's an unusual name, so what is the deal with the name of the of your band? How did you come up with it, and what does it mean?
Well, it's a reference to this movie called Gymkhana, which is probably the worst and best sports movie of all time, about this fighting gymnast who he knows karate and gymnastics and uses it to enter this like weird karate crazy tournament where they're trying to hunt him and kill him and all kinds of stuff. But he ends up going, one of the destinations he goes to is called Karabal on the Caspian Sea, and like, you know, everyone there is kind of crazy and someone yells at him or something, and like, he's like, oh, so much for the Karabal nightlife. I love this movie. It's kind of like a really, really stupid, like Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, but like, great. I recommend it to anyone who wants some adventure and some laughs, you know?
So were you just looking for a name at the time, and that sort of sprung up?
Basically, we were throwing around at that time other ideas, like the Ice Cream Socialists, I think, was one. But I like Toxic Oxygen, but Carabao Nightlife.
Grandma's Closet.
Grandma's Closet. Hey, if it had occurred to me, we might be Grandma's Closet right now.
Let's talk about live performance. I know, Courtney, you've only been with the band for a few performances, but... Mm-hmm. Putting yourself out there as Carabao Nightlife, what makes for a good show and what makes for a bad show, other than just whether or not people show up?
I would say that a lot of it doesn't have to do with how many people shows up. It has to do with like the reaction of the audience, because at least as a singer and a performer, I really feed off the energy of the audience. And if people are just sitting there and don't seem like they give a shit, like, I don't know if I'm even allowed to say that.
But, oh, yes.
Oh, I am.
We encourage it. Yeah. This is nonprofit, anti-corporate internet radio. It's great. Really okay.
If they don't give two shits, like, I try to not let it...
Two shits we won't accept. One at a time.
If they don't give one shit about my performance, then, I try not to, like, let it affect my performance, but it always seems to. And in addition to that, like, barring, like, equipment failure, it just really has to do with, like, you know, how we're connecting as a band. If we can, you know, get in that realm where, like, we can connect with each other and the audience. Because, like, sometimes we've had shows where we can connect with each other, and sometimes we've had shows we're connecting all right to the audience. But when it's, like, both, then that, for me, is, like, the best show.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, sometimes when you are just playing to an audience of five, or, you know, everyone's over at the bar and no one's out, you know, watching or whatever, when that occasionally does happen, you kind of have to, like, find it within yourself just kind of some secret motivation, just to like block that out and, you know, just kind of create some kind of atmosphere for yourself. It's like acting or something, you know. When the audience is into it and you're into it and there's just that thing, then that's just like the best night, you know.
And that it probably carries you for a while after that. Mm-hmm. You remember that night and you sort of reference that night.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've had a few of those nights that are great in our you know, career or whatever, and we're hoping that, you know, each show is going to keep getting better in some ways, and, you know, we look really, really forward to all of our coming up shows, because we think that we're going to have some good ones coming up.
Yeah, we're playing El Cid on May 29th with
Night Fur. Oh, that's a cool stage.
Yeah, it's, we've never played there before, so we're excited, and plus we're playing with Kind Hearts and Coronets, which, you know, it's still cool. Haven't seen them live, but I love what I've heard.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward. And Nightfur is playing with us that night, too, and they're amazing live. So, you know, that's going to be cool. And we're playing Silver Lake Lounge on what is it, the 9th?
It's the 9th.
The 9th of May. And we're playing with some cool bands. We're playing with the Soft Hands from Long Beach. And they're really cool live to watch. And
Death to Anders.
Death to Anders, who, they're great. They've been on this show. Wake Up Incinerate. We've seen them, and they're really cool, too. So we're looking forward to that.
So it sounds like that's a big part of it, too, is sort of allying yourself with certain bands and playing shows with the right kind of band.
That's, you know, so much of it. Because when we first started, we played a lot of shows with, you know, all kinds of
everyone
crap. And, you know, and it just gets to a point where, like, you know, I got so sick of, like, you know, Sean Healy, if you're listening, you know, booking some crap where it's like, you know, like, all the fans, like, come in for, you know, one band and leave. Then all the next people. It's just a factory, and I'm so sick of that shit that, like, you know, I only at this point want to play with people who are doing the same thing and love music, you know, as much as we do. And luckily we have a great community of friends who we played shows with, like, that, you know, we don't have to do any pay to plays or any crap like that anymore. So
yeah, we play often with this band called Rocking Horse People, who are incredibly awesome, and two very good songwriters in that band.
Amazing.
You know,
Happy Hollows is amazing. I don't know. There's so many. I could spend the rest of the time naming, like, who I dig in the scene.
We love.
Well, instead of doing that, why don't we do a live song?
Yeah, let's do it. This next one is another new one. It's called Notes of Dead Lovers, and it's a more serious one, but this one is sort of a guy talking to a girl who's been taken advantage of and sort of like been spiritually and physically, you know, raped literally. And he's trying to console her and, you know, telling her, like, you know, like, let's get away and let's find love before, you know, it's just all lost. Before you just don't care at all. So this is it's called The Notes of Dead Lovers.
All right, whenever you're ready.
Let's turn our bodies into a machine which could activate heaven by flipping a switch, which would remove our clothes like the ones who can never be naked. 'Cause hell isn't people, it's being alone in a condemned hotel, for the wrecking ball smashes the wall and I'm left staring six stories down at the pavement. But let's build our machine before we can't dream, before we can't sing, before we can't scream, before we can't walk, before we can't crawl, before we don't really care at all. Well, you came to me tangled estrogen, speaking of perils, you said that you once drove your tractor over a calf. Said it snap, it splintered and whispered. It said preachers out lost their gifts of the spirit. They wagged their black tongue, but never believed till their lives start to clot in their veins, the vocal cords blister. But let's build our machine before we can't dream, before we can't sing, before we can't scream, before we can't walk, before we can't cry, but we don't really care.
So
keys on an upright piano that plays the last tune when it's touched, if you let it, and don't search far or stare to the strings in your veins. Just trust that they're there.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is the Carabao Nightlife. That was amazing, by the way.
Thank you.
That was great. Thanks. Every once in a while, you sort of capture, you know, you take a band and you just kind of cram them into this tiny studio and you take away a lot of their power and a lot of the bells and whistles. And, you know, I'm listening in on the headphones, and every once in a while, you just kind of forget that this is a live performance going on right there in the room. You think that you're just listening to something, you know.
Oh, thank you.
So that came out really well.
We dig playing acoustic, too. Like, it's a different thing. And we had to, like, get together yesterday. We're like, all right, well, what are we going to do? But, you know, we're having a good time with it. So yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. We were talking before about this whole, how we're sort of pre-programmed to have this fear of anything new, you know, like you go to see your one band and then you clear out, you know, God forbid you are introduced to any new music. Why do you think that is? I mean, have you listened to the radio lately? And does anybody still listen to the radio?
I've completely, except for, you know, things like Kill Radio and, you know, Indie 103, you know, I don't really listen to the radio.
I don't even tend to listen to Indie 103 anymore, but I do like Steve Jones's show a lot because it seems like he's not, you know, trying to follow, you know, that many of the conventions, and he kind of plays more or less whatever the hell he wants, which is cool. But I mean, I think the reason that people are, you know, have this fear of new stuff is because I think people really just, you know, are going out to these shows, you know, maybe with not as open in a mind as they need to be. Like, maybe, you know, someone's going to sound a little different than you expected them to, or maybe they're not going to be exactly the kind of thing you've heard before. But I think, like, it's important to keep an open mind, because some of my favorite stuff in the world is stuff that at first I wasn't so sure about. Like, my favorite album of all time is called In the Aeroplane Over the Sea by Neutral Milk Hotel. And the first time I heard it, I was like, whoa, I don't know what to think of this. You know, and you know, now I've listened to it, you know, 1,000 times, and it's my favorite thing ever. So I think you have to give stuff a chance, and you have to, like, go out with the spirit of wanting to find something new and wanting to find, you know, your next favorite band, because they might come. You never know. I mean, this has happened. I've seen a band before where I was like, oh, my God, I can't believe it. You know, these guys are so good, you know. And
yeah, people get it's all about your predisposition. You know, if you walk in and you're planning on just, you know, it's what you bring to it. And if you come and you're not open to it, and you're not, you know, because we really got to ask yourself the question, are you going because you love music, or are you going because you're obligated to see a band, or you're
making
going
the
because,
scene.
Because you just want to show off your new haircut, or like whatever bullshit.
You just have a drinking problem.
Yeah. Or you're just going to get drunk then. And that's it. I mean, getting drunk and
getting
loving
drunk
music
is fine, and having
great,
cool hair is great. But,
but you know,
you guys have obviously you have a MySpace page.
We do. We're myspace.com/ just the band name, The Carabao Nightlife. I know it's kind of hard to spell, so I'll spell it out. It's THE The Carabao, KARABAL. Then Nightlife, NIGHTLIFE.
Yeah.
So.
And is that your only web presence right now? Do you also have a website?
We have a website, but it's antiquated. We are working actually with Dan Grayson, who engineered our album. He's actually a great artist, and we're working on some really cool stuff that is going to be our new website.
Yeah, we're revamping it.
We're
going
to probably
now.
Launch that, you know, I don't know, probably in another month or so, hopefully. Mm-hmm. It'll be done. Before that, you know, hopefully, but we'll see.
Well, listen, before we run out of time, I want to get at least one more live song out of you. So why don't we go to that, and then we'll end on a track from the CD.
Sounds great.
It's all you for this one, isn't it?
I believe it is. Except for vocals, of course. But this is another new one, and it's called High Noon. It's a gospel song.
If I'll ever shake sorrow, it covers my hands, it drips to the floor. I don't know if I'll see tomorrow. Tomorrow may come, tomorrow may go. But how many years did I spend sleeping? And how many dreams did I reluctantly awake from? And how much time spent with no dreams at all? As we wait for high noon. As we wait for high noon. Well, I heard that at noon there'll be a showdown, and they're gonna read you the deeds that you've done. If you done wrong, well, they'll send you packing. And if you done right, they'll let you out of the sun. How many times did I follow the wrong teachers? And how many times was I the bad leader? And how much time spent with no leaders at all? As we wait for high noon. As we wait for high noon. Whoa. Can't you save me, Lord?
Take me away.
Save me, Lord.
Take me away.
Won't you save me, Lord, from this pain? I think that at noon I'll meet the man softly, for I will not carry a gun in my hand. If you come fighting, then nothing will save you. You show up empty-handed, you might stand a chance. And how many times did I give my own eulogy? And was there a word that I uttered there truthfully? We spend life revising our obituaries as we wait for high noon. As we wait for high noon.
You're listening to Is Good on KillRadio.org. My guest is the Carball Nightlife. You guys have all been in other bands before, it seems, and I was just wondering if this feels like like home, if this is sort of like, okay, this is the band that I'm in and it's going to evolve. Actually, I especially want to hear from you, Courtney, being the newest member and not having had...
Well, like I said, when I played with them back a few years ago, I mean, I, you know, developed a secret desire to join the Caraball forever. So, yeah, I'd like to see where this goes. I think amazing things are going to happen. We have a lot of talent in this band and a lot of people who support us. And, you know, we're all pretty motivated, so...
How far would you like it, and this is to anyone, how far would you like to see it go? I mean, there's always sort of that walking that fine line where you want to maintain some sort of whatever indie means, right, credibility, but at the same time you also want, you know, to only do your music.
I'm not willing to put a ceiling on anything. And, you know, it's really, that really has little to do with us. It has a lot to do with people and what people respond to and, you know, maybe luck and, you know, going out there. But, it, you know... Obviously, like if it got huge, we'd still want to, you know, create forums to play smaller places too, because I think that's where we're our best. But you know, I don't want to put a cap on anything. I just, you know, want it to be a journey, and I want it to keep progressing and evolving. And hopefully, people can come on the journey with us. And we really look forward to making new friends, because we've already made some great ones, and we want to keep the doors open, you know.
Well, guys, thanks so much for coming in today.
Thank you.
And being a part of this. Again, the album is called The Other Shore, and it's available at Sea Level, and hopefully it'll be up on iTunes and all over the world soon. And so we'll leave with a track from that. And why don't you just remind us also where your next couple of gigs are?
May 9th at Silver Lake Lounge, May 13th at Eagle Rock Bowling and Drinking Club, and May 29th at El Cid with Night Fur and Kind Hearts and Cornets.
Awesome. What track should I play?
Let's go out with Sea of Sleep. Hmm.
It's not cool to number your tracks anymore, is it? It's like out.
You gotta count.
Trying to figure this out. I think it's 9. Yeah. There we go. All right. You've been listening to Is Good on killradio.org. I'll be back for my regularly scheduled show tomorrow from 10 to noon. My guest is Scott Kinnebrew. Also, if you want to listen to this again, or you want to let someone else listen to it, you can download today's episode from isgoodmusic.com, myspace.com/thisisgood. It should be up sometime this evening. And you can also, of course, subscribe to the podcast. I have a link there at myspace.com/thisisgood. This is the Caraball Nightlife.
Ship that needn't sail across the waves. It could break the atmosphere, take me right on into space. I drew a picture and I showed it to my mom. She said the men were meant to fly, and as I let my mind digress, I thought I saw you when the time had been. wants that horn. Some is singing.